bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're certainly a privileged people to have this opportunity to come to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, knowing, Father, that You have come down for a purpose, and that is to gather together Your elect to Yourself. Father, we humbly pray that when Your divine presence leaves the earth, that we would be ready to go with You, and that at that time we would crown You when You incarnate Your Son, Jesus. We would crown You King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, Father, as we proceed through the process of the adoption, we pray, Father, that Your divine spirit, Your life, Your word, would resound in our bodies, bringing our bodies into obedience to Thy word. And now we commit ourselves into Thy keeping, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I would like to continue with our study of Brother Branham's sermon called The Masterpiece. And we will begin reading again at paragraph 16 where we left off last week. And this morning we will again be looking at the thought of being a part of God. Now, if you can remember from one week to the next, sometimes it's hard, but you will recall that last week we read from where Brother Branham was speaking about Brother Bill Dow, and that he was born again. And when you are born again, Brother Branham said, you just can't get enough of the Word. In fact, Jesus said, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be filled. And last week we showed how that the new birth is necessary for you to receive a body change. For without a renewing of the mind, as Brother Branham said, you must receive a new heart, which is a new way of thinking, and a new spirit, which is a new desire that comes forth from your new way of thinking. And then you will receive God's Spirit in you. And the Apostle Paul told us that there will be no body change for you unless you are renewed in the mind. For he said you receive your transformation by the renewing of the mind. Now this morning, let's turn to Brother Branham's sermon called The Masterpiece. And let's look again at what he said about the new birth. In paragraph 16, he said he was born again, speaking of Brother Bill Dow. And when it was, something come into his heart, that all he lives for is to attend these services. Now King David said in Psalm 27 and verse 4, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And of course, Brother Branham used this verse of Scripture for his text for the sermon, The Rapture. And that is because the temple that David is speaking of, in which he desires to dwell in all the days of his life, is because God's presence was there. And David spoke of the temple as being a hiding place. And he told us what that hiding place was in Psalm 31 and verse 20. He said, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Now last Sunday we examined what it means to be born again and to be a part of God. And this Sunday we will again take up that same topic and go a little further in our study to understand what it means to be a part of God. Now the reason why I feel that this is so important for us to know and to understand our position in the family of God is because there are many who teach in error today saying that the bride is God, or that the fullness of the Godhead is in the bride. The fullness of the Godhead is not in the bride. The fullness of the Godhead was in one man, and that man was your older brother, Christ Jesus. Now, we do not believe as the oneness or the Unitarian believe, nor do we believe as the Trinitarians believe, but we believe correctly that there is one God, and he had a son. And he came to earth and indwelt that son to show himself to humanity. And that is how the Word became flesh. God indwelt his son. God, who is the Word, John 1 and 1, came into his son, John 1 and 14. Now we began last week by showing how that receiving that new birth is a series of events which begins with receiving a new heart, which is a new way of thinking. And then a new spirit comes forth from that new way of thinking. And that new spirit is a new desire. And finally, you are ready for God's own spirit or life to come into your vessel. Brother Branham said the reason why you need a new spirit is because you can hardly get along with your own spirit, much less the Spirit of God. From the sermon Impersonation of Christianity, Brother Branham said, but God had to give you a new spirit. Why? The spirit you had, you couldn't even get along with yourself. So how are you going to get along with God? So God had to give you a new heart. Not a patched up one, but a new heart. That's your intellect that you think with. A new way of thinking. Then when he gives you a new way of thinking, yes, well, that's right. And then in the next paragraph, Brother Bram says, then after that, then I'll give you a new spirit. What's that? A new desire. I want to do right. But now that's the new spirit. Then notice the order of the scripture. And you get a new heart and a new spirit. And he said, then I'll put my spirit in you, see? Oh, what? That's what the scripture says here. That's the order. That's the pneumatics. That's the numerical order of the scripture. A new heart, a new spirit, and then my spirit. Therefore, if a person has truly been born again, they will understand the doctrine when it's spoken to them. They have a new way of thinking because they have God's way of thinking. They won't fuss with it. They won't make fun of it. But it will ring the bell every time because there is something in them that identifies with the Word of God every time that it's rightly divided. Listen. I have 20 full pages of quotes from Brother Branham concerning his teaching on the evidence of being born again. Is that you will understand what the kingdom of God is all about. And you will understand what God is doing for you in this hour. And Jesus said in John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So how are you going to come unless you have learned? You won't even know where to go. Now, we don't have time to go over 20 full pages of quotes in that, but we'll do it maybe some Wednesday night. We'll do that when we finish the Neurosis series. Now, from the sermon Key to the Door, Brother Branham said, no man can understand the Word outside the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when a man says that he's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and disputes the Word being right, there's something wrong. And again, from his sermon, Identified Masterpiece of God, Brother Branham said, how can a man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit who wrote the Word, and a man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then deny the Word? How can the Holy Spirit in you deny its own Word that was set forth for you? I can't understand it. It's got to agree with the Word. And if your Spirit in you won't punctuate every one of God's promises with an amen, then there's something wrong. And again from his sermon, Discerning the Body of the Lord, Jesus once said, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or understand it. And in other words, you can't discern the kingdom of God until that you're born again. That's why when people don't understand these things that you're trying to tell them, don't fuss with them. They're just not born again. They might claim they got the Holy Ghost because they spoke in tongues or some silly thing like that. And I don't call speaking in tongues silly, but there's about 300 languages in the world. Nothing but confusion. Tongues then is confusion, but the Word of God endureth forever. And from a sermon calling the calling of Abraham, Brother Branham said, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See what the right translation that is cannot understand the kingdom of God. Somebody be doing something, showing you, and you say, I just can't see it. You're looking at it, but you don't understand it. And you'll never know what the kingdom of God is until that you're born again. Then you understand what it is. Now God said in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, he said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And the Apostle Paul told us, the only way that you will understand the thoughts of God is to have the Spirit of God in you. And that is the new birth. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, he said, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By His Spirit. Therefore, if you do not have His Spirit in you, How are you going to have those things revealed to you? He says, for the Spirit, not just a Spirit, but the Spirit, God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of man be in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, except the Spirit of God knoweth. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. And remember, the word of means out from. Therefore we received the Spirit which is out from God. In other words, God as his source. Then it's a part of God's own Spirit, a part of his life that he's talking about here. And we have that in order, he says, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, it takes the Spirit of God in you to discern them. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And this same apostle said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So it is possible to have the mind of God. But as we have seen, you cannot have it without having his Spirit or his life in you. And Jesus said that this Spirit is the Word of God. He said, the words which I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. Now let's look again at this thought on the new birth, on how it quickens you to the Word of God and releases the very nature of God by his Spirit into your mortal being. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Here Paul tells us we were spiritually dead and had to be quickened, which means to be made alive. And we see in 1 Peter 3 and verse 18 that this quickening is performed by the Spirit of God, and in fact, God had to quicken his own Son back from the death unto life. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to the death in his flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now we know that God is Spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and truth. And now this word quicken was translated from the Greek word zoopoio, which literally means to give life to or to cause to make alive. So you see, it is the Spirit of God coming into you that brings or makes you alive to the Word. In 1 Corinthians 15, if you turn with me, in reading from verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Therefore it is the Spirit of God that he placed within his Son that was released back on the church that makes him a quickening spirit. Notice how God entered Jesus, performed and manifested himself to humanity. Then God left Jesus so that he could die. Then God took that same Spirit which he had indwelt in his Son and came back upon the church. You see? Therefore, it is the Spirit of God that he placed within his Son that was released back on the church that makes him a quickening spirit. For Paul also tells us in Romans 8 and verse 11, but if the Spirit of him, now we must know who the him is here, and we know that there are 18 scriptures that tell us that God raised Jesus from the dead. So as Paul says, if the Spirit of him, that's God the Father, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he, God, that raised up Christ from the dead, again that's God the Father, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now remember last week we showed you that the new birth gets you ready for the body change. Now notice here that Paul tells us that it is the Spirit of God the Father that will also quicken your mortal body. And we know that God does it by the renewing of the mind. Then if this is the hour for the change of the body from mortal to immortal, then God the Father must be here to change the body. Right? And we know in order for that to happen, that we must receive a renewing of the mind first. Right? Then where's the scripture for it? Anybody tell me? The scripture that tells you that God Himself comes down to give you an understanding of Himself. Well, the shout is in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord Himself should descend with a shout. But there's actually a scripture that's very, very specific. Can anyone tell me where the scripture shows that the Father comes to renew the mind? All right. Huh? That's Philippians. But no, it's Ephesians 1:13. Turn with me. Ephesians 1:13. Actually, it's verse 17, but we're going to begin at verse 1:13. Notice here, he says, in whom you have trusted, you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. So something happened after you heard the word, you began to trust that word, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. Like the Baptists say, well, you get the Holy Ghost when you believe. No, he doesn't. You get the Holy Ghost after that you believed. He says, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So here's your baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? Which is the earnest of our inheritance, so it has to do with the inheritance. And if it has to do with our inheritance, then we must know how it has to do with our inheritance. We've got to know. And Paul will tell us in a few more verses, so let's continue to read. Until, he says, the redemption of the purchased possession, that's this body that he's talking about, unto the praise of his glory. Now this praise of his glory is his doxa, which is his opinion, his assessment, and his judgment, his very mind. So Paul is talking about the very mind of God that this baptism of the Spirit will take you up to, and it is an earnest or a down payment for the redemption of the body. So let's continue in Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Now remember, faith is a revelation, something that's been revealed to you. That is what Brother Van taught us. So Paul is saying these people had come up to faith. They'd come up to revelation. And then he adds, and love unto all the saints. Now we know that love is an outward expression of your revelation. The same apostle told us in the book of Corinthians, there remaineth faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Why? Because faith is where it all starts. And faith is a revelation. And if it is truly revealed to you, then you expect something from that which has been revealed to you. And hope is an earnest expectation. So faith begins the process. And as it builds up steam within you, it moves into expectation, which then begins to manifest in an outward expression of the revelation, which is love. That is why love is greater than faith, because it is faith expressed. You see, faith itself is passive, but love is an active faith. It's faith expressed. And as I've often said, when a young man gets a revelation that the girl is the one that he's to marry, it builds up something within him, which is an earnest expectation. And he earnestly expects that she will marry him. And in so expecting, he begins to do things for her as though she already is his wife. He spends his hard-earned income on things that he knows will please her. And he goes out of his way to especially be nice to her. And you all know the routine. Faith expressed is love, because love is always expressed in giving. For God so loved the world that he gave, you see. Now let's go on with Ephesians 1 and verse 16. He says, he already seen them in their faith and their love unto all the saints. He said, and I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now notice here that Paul ceased not to give thanks for the people, because he knew that they were born again. He knew that they had faith, and it was being expressed in love towards one another. And so he knew that there was just one thing left to happen, and we see that in the next verse. Notice verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ has a God, and this God is the Father of glory, he says. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, And Paul was praying that this God who is the Father of glory, and remember the word glory is the Greek word doxa, which is the opinion, the assessment, the judgment of God, in other words, the very mind of God. And here Paul is praying that the Father of this doxa may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of himself. So notice, if he's the Father of glory, then his children are glory. Well, that means if the word doxa means the very opinion, the assessment, the judgment of God, then his children will be an expression of the opinion, the assessment, and the judgment of God. He's the Father of it. Hallelujah. That means that only his children, by the birth, by the Spirit, can have his mind. That's great. So you see then, he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of himself. You see, because if you are born again, then you now have a new heart, which is a new understanding. And this new understanding gave you a new desire. And then God gave you his own spirit or life into you. And now you are able to know and to understand. And so then you have faith. You have revelation. And that revelation works into you an outward expression. And that gets you out of the way so that God's own spirit now is the tie post in your soul. Brother Branham said the greatest gift is to get yourself out of the way. You see? And then Paul was looking for the very mind of God, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God the Father. And he did this for one purpose, and we see that in verse 18. He says that the eyes of your understanding may be, that they may be enlightened, and that you may know what is the hope or the earnest expectation of his calling. What it's all about. Why did God call? You're going to know it. You see? In other words, then you will know what and why God has called you, and that is what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You see, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of the Father is the spirit of adoption. It is to get you ready for the adoption. Brother Branham taught us that the child, though a son, was placed under tutors and governors until the time of adoption. And when he had the mind of his father, then he was worthy of being adopted. And then everything that belonged to the father was shared co-equally with that adopted son. Now I hope you're getting what I'm trying to tell you here. God has come down in this hour with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of himself to give us a change of the mind and to get us ready for the change of the body, which Paul called the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. It all begins with a new birth. In Romans 8 and 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. I don't care how much your mind is your, and your thoughts are God's thoughts, you're still struggling with this body. You're going to, as long as you're in this flesh. I notice Paul said that we have the first fruits of the Spirit. And that is what begins our process towards the adoption, which is the redemption of the body. In fact, that is what he also says in verse 15, Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And we know the spirit of adoption is God's own spirit in us to bring us from mortal to immortal. And that is why in Ephesians 1 and verse 19, he speaks of the spirit of adoption and inheritance. And then he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So we can see by Ephesians 1 that Paul was looking for the spirit of adoption to come into the church to make known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, in that the very mind of God would come into the church, getting it ready for the change of the body, which is the redemption of the body, which is the adoption. And notice when it all began, when you were in God as an attribute, before the worlds were even framed in a manifestation. Because before he goes to verse 13, he starts out in the very beginning. In verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he's the Father of Jesus, but he's also the God of Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in His presence, and in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now that gets us back to where I want to take us today, and that is back to the beginning, where we were in the mind of God to begin with as an attribute of God. Brother Bram said from the future home, he said, you are a part of the earth, your body is. Your soul is a part of God, an attribute of God, displayed here on earth in a body. The body's to be redeemed. Now the soul's redeemed because it was in sin. So God come down by process of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and redeemed your soul. And you being a part of the earth, it's redeemed by it. You're in the process now, it's growing on. And therefore, if you are a part of God, then you are able to receive the very mind of God. Because we find in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received Him, and the Greek word for receive here is lambano, and it means to have experienced Him, or to have taken to oneself. And it is these that truly experienced Him, they are the ones, He says, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So these are believers. They believe on His name. And to them He gives them power to become sons. And the word power here is not the Greek word dunamis, which speaks of a great miraculous power, but rather it's the Greek word exousia, which means the power of choice, or the power to make a right decision. For you see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way which seems right to man, but the way thereof is a way of death. Man's always going to choose what way seems right, but it's going to be a wrong choice. But these, those that received Him, or were made in such a way as to be able to receive Him, to them gives He the power to make a right decision. And the word to become was translated from the Greek word genomai, and it means to generate, or to come forth into manifestation. Therefore, to them that experienced Him and openly receive Him, to them are given an ability to make a right decision and to become what they were to begin with. As Paul says in Galatians 4 and 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, if a man is left up to his own choosing, he will go in the way of death. But God has given him, or has granted him, or has given him a grant, the ability to know and to understand. And this ability to make a right decision concerning the doctrine of Christ is not for everyone. For Jesus told Nicodemus in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So if you're born of God, then God has to be your Father. And he's talking about those ones that could receive Him, those ones that could receive the power to become, the exousia, the ability to make the right decision. Like Paul said, beloved, now are you sons, but it does not yet appear what you shall be. But you know, when He appears, you'll be like Him. When He phanerous, when He manifests in His true character, you'll be like Him. For you'll manifest in your true character as well. And so he says, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, not what you did, nor the will of man, not what your church did for you, but of God. So he's talking about the new birth, and the importance of the new birth is that God gives him an ability to know and to understand the kingdom of God and what it's all about. From why I'm against organized religion, Brother Branham said, if he's born the same way that I'm born, then he'll know the things that I know. I like that. Amen. Oh my, yes sir, you can't tell a knot on the tree how that we must move about and be active. It would have to receive our kind of life to understand it. Same with the Spirit. The same thing is with the Spirit, or you can't understand it. There's no need of trying to figure it out at all. Just come to Him first. For except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. You see, he can't understand it. You've got to be born again in order to know it. And from contending for the faith, Brother Bram said, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot understand it. It's a mystical, mythical thing until you're born again. There, the very life of God comes into you. Everything, eternal life, Zoe, God's own life comes into you, and then you're a part of God. you're a son of God or a daughter of God, and then you see as God sees. You believe as God believes. Then you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Lord bless you now. I believe now we'll pray for the sick, and I want to ask you. Now notice it is the very life of God coming into you that allows you to see what He sees and to believe what He believes. In closing, Brother Ram said, from Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, the new birth is Christ. It's a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same things that He did, making the Word manifest? Oh, if the church only knew its position, it will one day. Then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you're bringing forth to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know who we are, who you are, who your Son Jesus was. And Father, we're asking that you would help us to step aside from our own thoughts, Lord. As Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. We sing the song, I Surrender All, and I pray, Father, that we might mean it. Till we come to the place, Father, where we have no thought coming, as Brother Branham said, but let this mind that was in Christ be in us, getting us ready for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. But first, as Paul said, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So, Father, I pray that we would take earnestly and take seriously, Lord, the renewing of the mind, knowing that you've already given us your Spirit. And that is the Spirit of adoption, because it's by your Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. And if that Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead be in us, it'll quicken our mortal bodies. And so we see the process is there. It's a matter of growing into it. And so, Father, help us, Lord, as just to feed your Spirit within us, that it might take over these bodies and bring forth the change of the body, for we ask it humbly in Jesus' name.